What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's another episode of Landing on the Plains. I'm your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we got another good one for you because, man, it's a lot going on between camp, another breakout star, and a scrimmage preview. Before we get to that, obviously we got to touch on this Jaden Daniels situation. And so we got a lot to get to, so let's not waste any time, and let's get straight into it. So before we get into, you know, Auburn and what's going on with camp, and obviously a big time scrimmage tomorrow, Friday, as we, you know, continue this fall camp season. So we're gonna talk about that and get into that. But man, Jaden Daniels has come out and, you know, hit LSU with a cease and desist, you know, not being able to use his name, image, and likeness anymore. And it all stems from, you know, pretty much them allowing another player to use his number 5 jersey. And so, you know, my perspective on it, man, and just like as a player, I understand, like, at the root of it, him feeling disrespected as far as, you know, like saying, you know, I won the Heisman Trophy here. And now, you know, not even two or three years later, you know, you're allowing somebody else to use my jersey. But man, I really hate how it's coming out. And I really hate how, you know, things are unfolding, and especially for him, just because like you just don't want to burn bridges. And like, it's now, you know, a permanent rift now between him and LSU fans, between him and the university. And, you know, that's not to say that they can't, you know, reach something later down the line, but like, even then it won't be the same. So it's like, even if one day they decide to turn around and retire the number 5, like years down the line or whatever the case may be, like, it won't hit the same. Cause it's like, you can't pretty much try to strong arm somebody into retiring a jersey. Like, especially at a place like LSU, they don't even retire jerseys like that. Like, especially officially. And so, and then if you want to get into the comparison game, like again, yes, the Heisman Trophy is the trophy of all trophies when it comes to college football. We all know and understand that. Jaden Daniels had a historical season. It was tremendous, you know, as far as numbers wise, like the way he was rushing the football that year on top of passing the ball all over the place, tremendous. However, somebody else who recently had a tremendous season at LSU and also won the Heisman Trophy. The major difference is, like, he was winning, bro. Like, he was winning. Like, that's what it really comes down to. And then it's like, when you look at all the optics, like, Joe won the SEC. Jaden Daniels didn't win the SEC. Joe never lost a game, you know, that last year when he won the Heisman. And they was smashing everybody, except for when they played us. But that's a different story for another day. It was blowing out everybody, dropping 40-plus on everybody. Killing everything moving. Setting all kind of records. Won the SEC. Went undefeated. And then won a national championship. Their other Heisman Trophy winner also undefeated national championship. Jaden Daniels, like, yes, tremendous numbers, like I said, and a tremendous football player. Like, we not taking nothing away from 5. Like, he was awesome. But he was 9-3, and they went to play a bowl game against Wisconsin. A bowl game in which he opted out in, by the way, which I personally don't have a problem with, but that's not legendary stuff. Like, it's not. Like, optics and stuff like that matters when we're talking about all of that kind of stuff, right? Like, you can't opt out your last, like, that's just not a legendary type of move to close out a legendary career. You spent majority of your career elsewhere, came to LSU, and again, was phenomenal, but it didn't translate to anything significant outside of the Heisman Trophy. And it's like, when you walk around LSU, like, you think about LSU number 9, like, you think about Joe. 10 years from now, you think about LSU number 5, like, majority of the people not going to automatically think about Jaden Daniels. I'm sorry, they're not. And again, that's not to say he wasn't a tremendous football player. He was, and he still is. But it's just like, I also don't like the timing of it too. Like, when this is coming out while you're in the middle of training camp, you know, ahead of the biggest season of your career. Because he got to make it happen this year. He had a phenomenal rookie year, and last year was full of injuries and, you know, some letdowns. And so he's got to go out and perform this year. And so for this to come out right now in the middle of training camp, yeah, I don't like the timing. I don't like the optics. And then it's like, who's to say, like, things down the line couldn't have happened? Like, there's things like Ring of Honor, you know, LSU Athletic Hall of Fame, all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's just, like, bad for relationships, bad look. Again, I understand at the root of it, you know, him, you know, kind of stepping back and saying, like, you know, I won the Heisman Trophy here. And, you know, apparently it was agreed upon and promised, you know, that nobody would wear that number. And then the same coach that he played for won the Heisman Trophy under, then promised the number to the recruit, the guy who's wearing 5 now. You know, they're saying that was a part of the agreement, a promise made to him to come to LSU. I got to get 5. And so now Lane's there, and he's saying, I'm upholding that, because, you know, that was promised to him to come here, and that is what it is. And so, yeah, man, I just think it's something that could have been handled behind closed doors, especially if this is something that just happened recently. You know, DJ Pickett, the corner who has number 5, just recently switched to 5 at the start of camp. And so this is something that just kind of transpired within the last couple of weeks. So I wish it was something that could have been handled, again, behind closed doors, to where, you know, maybe we can work something out. Again, you never know what was going to happen later down the line, like Ring of Honor, you know, Hall of Fame, all of this different kind of stuff, man. And so, yeah, hopefully, you know, they can work something out. But yeah, it's just, you know, just from my point of view, I don't really like it, you know, from his side of things. But nevertheless, let's get straight into some Auburn football, man, and let's really get into it. Because there is a player who was making some major waves right now throughout the first week and a half of camp, and his name is Eric Winters, man, safety, sophomore safety, who is, you know, emerging as a guy who I think Auburn fans need to start being excited about and expecting some big things from him this year. Just because you're talking about a kid who, like, again, safety's coach just got done talking about him in an interview that he's a big kid, man. Like, I think he's about, you know, 6'2", 215 back there at safety. Like, he's coming down and, you know, they're saying he's playing violent. And so you're talking about a guy who has a bigger, stronger build, who can come down and kind of be that enforcer. He's a guy who stepped up in camp, you know, this first week and a half, like I said. And so, man, that's a guy that I think Auburn football fans need to start penciling in as a guy who's going to really contribute this fall, just because, like, man, that safety room is so deep. It is. And, you know, I've talked about it. A lot of guys have talked about it, that room is so interchangeable. And so I think we have, you know, about 5, maybe 6 guys, but definitely 5 guys for about 3 positions when it comes to, you know, those 2 safety positions and then, you know, that nickel position. And so I think it's going to be imperative for one of those guys to really come out now that we're in camp, but also once we get to the season, to come out and really establish themselves, you know, as that alpha in the room. And so, you know, between Eric Winters, you know, he's been, you know, with that first group mainly throughout this entire camp so far. And so it seems like he's really commanding, you know, one of those spots right now. And so we'll see how, you know, things continue to progress there. But, man, I don't think you deny a young guy like that with that kind of ability, that kind of size, and, you know, just the way that he's, you know, practicing right now. Like, you go with your young guy. You do. And so I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, can a guy like Caleb Harris come back on and come on strong. You know, Sylvester Smith is a guy who we're dependent on back there, and obviously Champ Anthony as well. And so, man, it's going to be interesting to see, again, how this staff uses all of those guys, how they, you know, all can play all of the different positions. And they're cross-training right now. You still got Champ, you know, being able to move from safety to nickel. I know last week he was, you know, getting some reps in at corner as well. You know, Eric Winters obviously back there commanding in one of those spots, and Sylvester Smith being able to play all over the place. And so we got options. And so, you know, that room being one of our deeper rooms on this team, you know, I think honestly, quite honestly, maybe second behind linebackers. And, you know, I'm really high on this running back room as well. But, you know, those are probably my top three position rooms, you know, on this team. You can argue D-line as well. But, you know, it's just, again, a strong room. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it unfolds. And so Eric Winters is a guy that, you know, after this first week and a half and, you know, him continuing to run with the ones and, again, stand out. And now he's, you know, he's more so a reserve kind of guy, but now commanding, you know, the defense a little more, becoming a little more vocal. So to be as a player, that screams confidence. And so if you're talking about a guy who in, you know, his second year has made a leap physically and now he's making a leap mentally and verbally on the field as well, like that screams breakout year to me. And so, man, like, if a lot of these guys on this defense can break out like I think they're going to, like, I think that takes us from that good category to, like, that really, really good category to maybe taking us over the top and being in that top echelon, especially in the SEC. And if you can be a top defense in the SEC, that means you're a top defense in the country. And so I think, you know, we need, like, there's some guy like Jared Smith, Eric Winters, like, even a guy like Elijah Mendez. Like, dude, there's some dudes, like, there's some freaks on this defense, bro, like, who we need to step up. And if they do, coupled in with all the pieces that we already have, some guys that have already proven themselves, who obviously got to go out and continue to do that and do it again. But, man, it, like, hey, we're going to have some conversations and we're going to be in a lot of football games. And I think the biggest difference from last year to this year that will help us in games is, obviously our offense will be better. But let me tell you why. Because I don't think our offensive line will be drastically better or drastically worse than our offensive line last year. And to some Auburn fans, that may sound a little scary because offensive line has been a point of issue for us over the last couple of years. But our offensive line last year could have easily won us 8-9 games, easily. We were in every single game with that same offensive line. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I know we're, as a fan base, so tired of hearing, oh, we're close and this, that, and the third, but it's like, we just upgraded times 100 at quarterback. We just upgraded times 100 at play caller. We just upgraded times 100 at tight end. We just upgraded, you know, at times probably 50 in the running back room just because Jeremiah Cobb got a lot better. And then you add on, you know, the insurgence of a guy like Omar, and hopefully we can get Bryce Washington to come along as well. So the running back room as a whole is better. And the receivers know this scheme. They know this system. So as an offensive whole, we are better. But that's not even the best part about it. The best part about it is going to come from these coaches. But this staff offensively is far and away better than the staff we had previously. And I think it's going to show up in, like, our game plans. Like, the way that we attack teams, the way that we make teams prepare for us is going to be so much different than it has been. Like, we were promised the offensive guru, and we were promised all of these things. And, man, we obviously never saw that come to fruition. But the way that we prepare each and every week, like, this staff, the way that they have proven, you know, across multiple different stops, that they can game plan and scheme things up, that's to our advantage. Not only that, but the ability to make adjustments, bro. The ability to make adjustments, man, because that's been one thing that has been killing us. We'll come out so hot, and the second teams make out, you know, what we're doing, or the second teams make adjustments, we're dead in the water, especially offensively, bro. Like, we have been dead in the water, and you see it time and time and time again. We get to that second half, and we already know exactly how it's about to go. We're going to come out, the opening script is going to be great, or we're going to come out and, you know, we're going to be firing on all cylinders. And then somewhere along the middle of the game, things will go cold and we're just going to all start looking around like it's happening again, isn't it? It's either that or it's going to start from the very beginning and we already know what's going to happen the entire day. Them days are over. Those days are over. And that alone will make us a significantly better offense. The ability to make adjustments, the ability to have way better game plans and, you know, plans to attack teams' weaknesses. And then, like, go tempo. Like, bro, we never used tempo to our advantage, really, when we had you. We hardly used it, really. And so for us to be able to up the tempo, control the game, control the clock, be able to use the quarterback weapon as you know, him being able to run the football as a weapon, coupled with the running backs that we have, being able to get the ball out quick, get first downs, move the chains. Now we going fast. Now we hitting teams over the top. Now we creating big plays. Oh, now teams are tired. Now we breaking tackles. Man, I'm telling you, we're about to be a way better football team. And our defense, like I said, we get those couple guys to come along, man, we're going to be scary. And so, man, looking forward to, you know, this scrimmage that we got tomorrow. You know, we're going to preview that just here for a quick second, man, and just, you know, I know what that first scrimmage in camp is all about. That first scrimmage in camp, that's the time to get after it, man. This is the scrimmage where it's no restrictions on nobody except for the quarterback, because you got to find out who can hit. You got to find out who can block, and you got to find out who can get off blocks. You got to find out who, even when tired, is going to run to the football. We got to play live. We got to get guys to the ground. We got to see who loafing when they get tired. We got to see offensively who can protect the football, right? Because now it's live. We got full contact going to the ground, guys punching at the ball, stripping at the ball. Who can make plays on the football as a receiver and, defensively as well, right? Who's going to be physical? Who's going to, you know, communicate even when tired? Like, these are the things you're looking for in that first scrimmage. You're looking, you know, for guys to take, you know, what they've learned this first week and a half and just go out and apply it in a more game-like setting. Like, these scrimmages, they hold weight, especially that first one, because like I mentioned about a week ago, after that first scrimmage, that's when coaches kind of hone in on, okay, I kind of know what we got. And this is kind of where our weak areas are, and this is what we need to work on. And so this is kind of like that time for these guys to go out. Like I said, man, there will be another scrimmage, maybe even two, depending. I don't know, you know, schedule-wise what they got going on, but there'll definitely be at least two. But this first scrimmage, man, this is where you crank it up. And you crank it up. It's your first opportunity to go out, perform live. It's going to be high intensity. So it's the opportunity. This is your first opportunity to really show up. And so it means something. It means something. And so I know the guy's going to approach it as such. So, you know, we're going to see who goes out and performs. And so I think that's what I'm most excited about, to kind of see who continues to stand out. Some guys who have been standing out, like, is it going to be Omar having a big day? Is it going to be a guy like Deshaun Spencer continuing to have big days? Is it going to be some surprises? Is somebody going to show out and kind of surprise us a little bit? Defensively, I kind of want to see, you know, who can tackle. I know it's going to be a big day for defense. Like, just, I know that first scrimmage, man, guys are tired, bro. Because I've said it before, there's nothing like playing football. And nothing can get you prepared for playing football like playing football. Like, there's nothing else that can get you in that kind of shape. And so those boys will be dog dead tired. I promise you, it's going to be hot. No matter what time of day they out there, it's going to be hot. And so we got to run to the football. I think that effort will be a big thing to track. I know they'll be keeping track of things like, loafs, things like that, MAs, MEs, you know, missed assignments or mental errors, things like that. And so those things tend to rise in that first scrimmage just because of, you know, fatigue and things like that. And so I think from the defensive standpoint, it's going to be about discipline and then trying to attack that football. We got to create turnovers, so attacking that football and then just being sound tacklers. And so I think those are what you kind of focus on defensively, and then offensively, you know, protect the football, you know, work on your stuff. And you just want to protect the quarterback even though he's not live. And so, yeah, man, it's going to be exciting to kind of hear and, you know, may hopefully see a couple things, but definitely hear about, you know, how the scrimmage unfolds and kind of who rises to the top. So it's going to be interesting to see. And obviously very, 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 very important for our development as we continue to move forward in this camp season, man. And so I appreciate you guys tuning in. That's all we got for today. Make sure you tune into the next one. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And as always, War Eagle.